Lesson 8, Daniel. Let's pray. Lord, we are so blessed by all that you've shown us in this book so far. Lord, we are so thankful for who you are, for what you've provided for us, and that we can wake up this morning knowing that you are in charge of this day in the United States of America. And we pray that you will protect this election in every single way. You have eyes that see, and you have ears that see, and you have angelic watchers. And Lord, I pray that you will keep it honest, you will keep it true, and you will block any attempt to allow the enemy to come in and take over anything that you will raise this country up, and so they will know who did it. Lord, we know who is in charge, and it is you. And thank you for these lessons, and we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Well, I've had my say, haven't I? Okay, here we are in Daniel 6. And we see that Babylon has been defeated. That head of gold is gone from the first dream of Nebuchadnezzar. The Medo-Persians are now in charge. They are on the throne. And the silver arms and torso are now represented and ruling and reigning. And now you know why it is the part of the statue with the two arms. Get into the imagery of all of this, because when we start in January, imagery is going to rule to the end of the book. And we are going to be amazed at what it all brings. So, we saw at the close of chapter 5 that Belshazzar knew that all those armies were out, coming into Babylon, ready to take a siege out there, organize a siege. And what does he do? He throws a party. And we see the two conquering generals, one's a king, one's a general, and a king, outside. Darius is the one that goes in first. But at the back of that army, directing the whole siege and defeat of Babylon, is Cyrus. So they're both there. Cyrus is not mentioned, but he's there. They've dug up the cylinders, and that's where you get your information from, the records of the actual people when you dig them up. So, at this point, and it's around 539 B.C., so it's at least 500 years before that calendar, technically not happening until Julius Caesar does it, begins the A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. But you know what happens when the calendar is changed later. Jesus is reigning. Jesus is born, and the calendar was then changed. Now we're on Babylonian time, ancient time, and we are losing years as we go forward, and then we gain years on the other side. I'm just describing the calendar. But here we are, and it is at least 30 years in the future, 30 years plus 500 before Christ is going to be born. Now remember this statue and everything we learned about that statue And we've understood that the timeline is God's time. And we've just seen the prophecy fulfilled overnight, practically. When the Babylonian Empire, those huge walls, thick walls, they didn't mean a thing. They could not stop God's plan. And this is what has happened. And I want you to understand who is in control. These people don't know it. Daniel knows it. But these people don't. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, now you see the hierarchy here, were three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. Now Daniel is 83 years old about that at this point. He's been around a long time, and this Darius has just come in and defeated the Babylonians, and here he is now setting up his government because Cyrus has appointed him over the Babylonian region of the now conquered Medo-Persian Empire. So, then this Daniel, and you see he's old. It's been a long time now since Nebuchadnezzar died, and the rule of the empire started downhill with his son, and now his grandson has been beheaded, and the Medo-Persians have taken over. I want you to see the influence of this one man, Daniel, as we go through this chapter, because you have seen his influence and what God did to raise him up and then raise